Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
So TikTok has just caved, and they're going to be doling out, $400 million under the Justice Department for failing to get proper parental consent and illegally gathering personal information from users under the age of 13. I thought kids didn't use it. Anyway, that's just one story relating to TikTok. Another story relating to TikTok, remember we mentioned last week that there is clear evidence that kids eat what they see on TikTok because advertising works, especially for, you know, food kinds of things, but they try all kinds of weird food because of that. There's another issue with what kids are doing more and more of because of TikTok, since we're kind of at the moment focusing on that. It's leading them into pornography. You might say, yeah. Well, okay, but Instagram too, I'm sure. Anyway, the whole point here is that it's not pornography per se. It's sort of porn-ish. You know, it's revealing behavior. It's simulated behavior. It's, you know, go to my link here. Go to my adult content here. It's things that are pushing, like OnlyFans. They call it funnel content, where they give you, like, some kind of like teaser video. Hey, if you like this, click in the link below, you know, that kind of thing. Research done by a company called Revealing Reality found that teenagers 14 or 15 are being shown videos designed to push people towards other explicit sites. You don't say. Social media does what to kids? Anyway, although the videos on TikTok don't show nudity themselves, they're clearly sexual in nature, but stay just within the bounds of the platform not to be banned. But then it leads them to other things like OnlyFans, you know, hey, if you want more or less, or however you would describe that exactly. Not a particularly surprising story, but there you go. Meanwhile, did you watch the Chinese Robot Olympics over the weekend? I didn't, but I have seen some of the video, including and this is all humanoid robots. So this is robots that are built to be like people, you know, have two arms and two legs and a torso and a head, which, of course, you can build a robot to look like a spider or a dog or anything. You know, a robot can be anything, horrifyingly so. But these robots were meant to look like humans, and then in order to test the proficiency of modern robotics, they made them compete in a kind of robot Olympics. So they were doing, you know, running and jumping. And for kind of the first time ever, they were doing human things better than humans do. Chinese humanoid robots, keyword China, broke records set by humans, including beating Usain Bolt's 100-meter dash world record. So the robots run faster than we do now. His record was 9.58 seconds over the weekend, the 100-meter sprint, 9.39 seconds. And there was another robot right behind him doing almost as fast. In the standing high jump, okay, 2.45 meters set by Cuba's Javier Sotomayor in 1993. Humanoid robots over the weekend in Beijing, 2.88 meters. By the way, just for context, last year, a year ago when they did this, 0.95 meters. So they did the first Robot Olympics last year. The robot standing jump was 3 feet. This year it's 9 feet. So they improved from 3 feet to 9 feet in a year, beating the human record of 8 feet-ish. 51 events, 1,000 competitions taking place, including running, table tennis, soccer, robot soccer, not kidding. So the AI is writing papers better than you can write, submitting scientific papers to research publications, is solving medical diagnoses. By the way, you know, my opposition to AI as a creative thing is for all kinds of reasons I've explained many times, but, like, I'm a good writer. I am a good communicator. I'm at the upper end of the using the English for effect spectrum, right? I mean, my job is literally to use English for effect. So when it comes to creative use of language, expression, capturing ideas, communicating, fact-based analysis, getting the facts right, all those things. Like, I'm upper tier. I mean, that's my job, to be upper tier. How does the AI compare against, let's just say, average people? Well, at least as good as, and it's as bad now as it's ever going to be. So the AI, the large language models, do better than you do probably at writing the paper and writing the song and writing the poetry and writing the political treatise and giving the pro-con, right? And better at diagnosing and pretty good at the legal stuff, except that it hallucinates things still, you know? And now we've got robots that are better than you are. I mean, at a certain point, not to be the harbinger of doom or anything, but at a certain point, if you put the really advanced AI inside the really advanced robot, and, you know, why would you limit it to just brain function? Why would you limit it to our style of body? We're going to be the inferior ones. And what then? You know, we're always thinking, at least I'm always thinking, we got to protect ourselves against the AI because I've seen all the movies and read all the books. You know, and I know some people, there will be a religious movement. You mark my words. If it's not, it's already out there, I'm sure, somewhere. But there will be a religious movement of people who are eager to usher in the next wave of evolutionary development where the AI robots run things, run them better than we do. And even if it means wiping us out, well, it's making way for the next advance. And they will be religiously devoted to their overlords, like the, you know, the peasants serving the folks in Stargate or something. I don't know. Happy days. Happy Monday, everybody. 8:16 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on. In my world, by the way, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. So I'm not that worried. But anyway, PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash I-10 westbound as you approach Scenic Highway. No roadblock, but we are seeing some slowdowns on I-10, so just use caution. Also have a traffic light out, US 90 at Spear Street in Milton. That's a four-way stop until further notice. Also have a disabled vehicle on the roadway, State Road 95 at Morris Avenue, Cantonment. Partial roadblock. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Oh, by the way, if you weren't already, like if nothing I said already bothered you, yeah, you know, which, you know, maybe you're like, whatever. Anyway. There's a story out of The Independent about headline, robot soldiers are being built in America to fight tomorrow's wars. Yay. I feel like people need to do a little remedial self-education on the warnings from science fiction writers. You go back to the, you know, Star Trek had a great episode on, you know, using the simulations to fight the wars, which means that we would, and people then just go into the death chamber. Like, this is, it's a great episode where people, you know, like the computer decided that your neighborhood got bombed, and so you just show up to the annihilation room. And it was meant to be clean because then, you know, you didn't destroy actual infrastructure. You just destroyed people. And the basic theory was, you know, war ought to be messy. War ought to be costly. War ought to carry consequences if you're going to be killing people. Anyway, not that that's related. The Independent writes an article, plenty of tech companies claim to go against the grain, but few are pursuing a technology that has provoked as much visceral, widespread horror as the one being built by Foundation Future Enterprises. The startup, founded in 2024, is racing to create humanoid robots that will automate factory work, build futuristic megacities, and most strikingly, wage the wars of tomorrow. Good Lord. And by the way, you know what they're called? Foundation? PJ, are you a science fiction guy? Do you like science fiction?
I do.
Have you read Foundation? Isaac Asimov's three-part? Okay. Foundation is this sort of classic big science fiction work that Isaac Asimov, I actually just got done rereading it within the last couple of months. And the premise of Foundation is that you have, you know, this galactic empire that overrules everything, but they've realized because this guy has discovered through, you know, modern psychoanalysis, basically, the, you know, rules of large bodies of people, that the empire is collapsing. And in order to make the, you know, the dark ages that are coming shorten from 30,000 years to 1,000 years, he puts all of the wisdom and insight and science and knowledge into foundations at opposite ends of the universe. And the one is known about and the one is secret and hidden. And the one that's known about is the one that flourishes and does well, and they shorten. It seems like they're going to resurge even despite all the struggles. And then the other one that's really the key to this whole system, and you know, I guess if you haven't read it and you plan to read it, this is going to be a big spoiler alert. But, you know, it's been out for like 70 years, so I think we'll be okay. 50 years. Anyway, the second foundation turns out to be they were focused on psychological powers and manipulation. And, you know, being able to use telepathy to control the first foundation and to control everybody else. And, you know, it was this kind of shady organization that was running, like the secret cabal that's running everything, you know, like the Bilderbergers or the creature from Jekyll Island or the Trilateral Commission or, you know, whatever your version of this nonsense conspiracy is. It was kind of writ large in the empire. Second foundation is those folks. The company that's making the robot warriors named themselves after the super secret controlling the universe people in Isaac Asimov's fictional future. And they thought that was cool to do. What else? Have you seen the new all AI channel on Roku? Since, I mean, we're talking tech stuff. I'm throwing a bunch of stories at you. Just so you, this is the landscape, right? I don't know if you watch on, if you even have a Roku, but if you do, you know, they have all kinds of different channels on there. Channel 300 brings you a thing called Fairground AI, which is 24/7 AI video content. Now, CEO Colin Pietrinora says it's genuinely groundbreaking moment for AI cinema. Not so friendly reviews say it's like eating slop from a trough. Somebody says it's so bad it makes North Korean propaganda shows look good. It's kind of a must-watch for a little while, only to see the cutting edge of AI slop. Futurism, which is its publication online, it broadcasts AI-generated abomin. It's not broadcast, but whatever. Broadcast is over the air like radio and TV. This is through streaming, which is digital, but that's okay. It broadcasts AI-generated abominations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The only interruption of this slop flow state are intermittent ads, which are also AI-generated. It sounds more like a concept for a sci-fi torture device than it does a source of genuine entertainment, but it is unfortunately real. I figure, PJ, you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. I figure this is not meant for us. This is meant for the humanoid robots that contain the AI, and when they're not working, they need to be entertained by...
Oh, absolutely.
...the AI Hallmark channel of romantic comedy slop. 8:22 here on News Radio 92.3. Happy Monday. If you're thinking about buying your next vehicle, by all means, get one that's almost self-driving, because you know all that the self-driving features are all just softening us up for the self-driving cars, right? I mean, you get that. The road departure and the automatic stopping and the warning you and the camera that's on you while you're looking at the road to make sure that you're not falling asleep. That's just all softening us up for... And it's not even a conspiracy. That's just obvious. Okay, back to Frontier. A great source of good quality used cars. 300 cars or trucks on the lot at any moment. About half of them they sell to folks like you. Good quality cars, you know, 1, 2, 3 years young, almost new, but not brand new. One owner, maybe two before you. 1 to 4 years young, and, you know, all the late model cars they warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whatever comes first. And the key to Frontier is you can try a bunch. If you find what you like, buy it. If you want to, you know, pay less for higher miles or an older version, send them looking. You want a different trim package, you want a different color, you know, send them looking. They go shopping for people all the time for cars when they're going at auctions. They bought my car. Now, this wasn't like I sent them looking, but they bought my car at an auction out of Orlando, for goodness sake. And then, you know, we bought it from them because it was a smoking deal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to let them know that, be sure to tell them that Andrew McKay says hi.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids Max Strength. Its dual-active formula has 1,500 milligrams of calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. 1,500 milligrams is our highest amount of antacid per tablet. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Please put down your weapon. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Yeah, and the Ed 209 wasn't even particularly human looking. He was the response to RoboCop, right? 8:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-10 westbound as you approach Scenic Highway. No roadblock there, but we are seeing some slowdowns on I-10. Also have a little bit of a slowdown, US 90 from Warden Basin Road to Broad Street. Word is that we have a disabled vehicle in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Somebody says the running robots crashing into the barrier at the end of the sprint had me laughing. Check it out. It's awesome. I had not seen that. That's kind of funny. Somebody says, well, look, using machines to replace human labor is what we've been doing since the Industrial Revolution. No, that's true. That's true. And might finally be coming to get us. I do sometimes, you know, maybe it's because I've seen The Matrix so many times, but there was a part of me that's like, if it turned out we were living in a simulation right now, would you be all that surprised? I mean, really, there are signs. You know, like maybe there's the good AI out there that's fighting to tell us what's really going on and the bad AI is trying to stop. I mean, I don't know. It's just you can get yourself in a tizzy thinking about this stuff. Let's see. David Wayne is out today, but we've got Steve in with our headlines. Steve?
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. will begin on September the 8th. He announced the move over the weekend in response to the Trump administration's new 50% tariffs on Canadian goods. The new U.S. tariffs impact about $20 billion worth of Canadian imports. U.S. is preparing to impose a new round of sanctions against Iran. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says he'll hold a news conference later on to basically lay out the economic pressures the administration plans to impose on Iran and its key allies. The White House describes the measures as the, quote, toughest sanctions in history, unquote. And New York City police are investigating another sewer incident following a viral video on social media. Footage posted shows three people in overalls and headlamps emerging from a manhole at 32nd Street and 7th Avenue in Manhattan. A spokesperson for the NYPD says they're looking into the incident. However, no arrests have been made. It comes after videos of people popping out of the sewers made rounds a few months ago, prompting a separate police probe. Found no threat to the public damage in the sewer system. And so far, one of those things that defies explanation. Why people would be doing that kind of thing. And that's what's happening.
Well, if they look like turtles and order pizza, I know why. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 8:27, News Radio 92.3. Oh, I don't know if you saw this, but this is one of those stories that, I don't know, it really hurt my heart. And I'll just tell you that up front. This is a kind of a painful one to see. Happened elsewhere, okay, in Guinea in West Africa, which is, like, if you know the shape of Africa, it's kind of like the protrusion on the west coast. It's kind of the southwest portion there. But you may have heard that other people in other places live in some fairly atrocious circumstances. If you ever watched, like, the Slumdog Millionaire, you know, you've seen people live in horrible things. You had a massive landslide in Guinea yesterday. A open-air landfill collapsed, burying the houses that people live on near and even under some of the garbage. This is in Dar es Salaam, which is the capital. You had 30 people killed. The weight of the waste caused a three-story building beneath it to cave in. Just landfill originally had been scheduled to close on Sunday. Officials have been warning of the hazardous conditions. I mean, how do we get to this point so far? The sanitation officer for the military engineering battalion there said this. The decision followed reports of similar incidents at the landfill in recent years, raising concerns about its safety. Again, people living in the dump and under the dump. Okay, and not because that's like the preferred alternative, right? As a precautionary measure, residents who live near the site had been given eviction notices and were forced to vacate. How bad must the opportunity be if that's where you are living? Which I'm sure part of that is picking through the garbage, you know, for finding things to resell or to live off of or whatever. Many people remained nearby at the time of the disaster, including water runoff that was part of the issue as well. So, you know, It's a little bit of a perspective shift. I always like to tell people you should get out of the country and see how everybody else lives, and then, you know, you can't come back to America quickly enough. That's even if you just go to Mexico or you go to Europe, let alone going to a genuine third world country where people are living in and under the trash heaps. Just be grateful for what we have. You know, we everything from building codes to, code enforcement to charity, which we have in this country. And the notion that that would be absolutely unacceptable to imagine people living like that is a good reason to kind of be grateful that we live where we are. 4-3-7-16-20. Oh, I thought this was just a fascinating note. Do you know what one of the key indicators of American sentiment as far as optimism and outlook goes? Ice sales. When people go to buy bags of ice, what are they doing? Parties. So when people feel, or they're going, you know, they're going to events where they're bringing ice, backyard parties, job sites, birthday splash pads, all that kind of stuff. The theory here is that Texas Monthly senior writer Lauren Larson says that if you can track the sales of ready ice or pre-bagged ice, that's one of the greatest examples of recession, not recession, pandemic, immigration, all the stuff put together. When people are happy, they buy a lot of bagged ice. When they're not, they don't.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump posting in all caps, Iran is completely collapsing. Treasury Secretary Bessent launching Economic D-Day, which he calls the single greatest financial offensive ever marshaled against an adversary. Final prosecution rebuttal witnesses in the nurse Lindsay Clancy trial after the defense testimony that she was frankly psychotic when she killed her three children. A human-caused wildfire raging near Reno, the Hawk Fire. 40,000 people evacuated. It'll take a month for crews to dismantle the America 250 Grand Prix street track around D.C. American winner Kyle Kirkwood dominated the track, telling Fox.
We would love to come back, if I'm being honest, because I think this was the best street course race I've ever been a part of. The event has a whole 100,000 people here on a raffle, free tickets for everybody.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 right now, 85 degrees and partly sunny. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Thousands packed stadiums across the region on Friday night for opening night of high school football, but storms nearly stole that show. Tate and Pine Forest both saw delays under a severe thunderstorm watch. Every athletic trainer was watching WeatherSTEM, which is a Tallahassee-based tracking system with stations at all seven Escambia County schools. Field told Channel 3 what's built into it.
It has everything that you could possibly imagine. Anyone in our county could Google WeatherSTEM or weather stations in Escambia County, Florida, and see the seven of our high schools, plus UWF has four, and then some fire stations here, and you can see all the data in there.
The system is color-coded like beach flags. Lightning inside of 10 miles clears the field. Beyond 30, it's all clear. State and military leaders are weighing their options for easing Highway 98 congestion around Hurlburt Field after past fixes like the flyover near the base entrance have not solved the problem. Representative Nathan Boyles told Channel 3.
There are multiple tools that I think that are ultimately in the toolkit that have to be evaluated, and some of those come from, you know, extending turn lanes along the existing corridor, you know, adding additional shorter connectors, widening the existing corridor, and then, you know, I'd say probably the most drastic measures being kind of bypasses around that 98 corridor.
Congressman Jimmy Patronis has filed the Warrior Road Act, aiming to make security critical infrastructure projects a federal funding priority. Senator Gates says following the congestion ultimately comes down to two things: land and money.
I think it's everyone's concern that we don't want to lose mission. We obviously don't want to lose bases.
The main concern is keeping the base and the missions they support in Northwest Florida. In the meantime, the base has requested additional Florida troopers to be in the area helping with the traffic problems. UWF students are digging up history, literally, ahead of the construction on the school's new football stadium. Archaeologists were required to survey the site before building could begin since it needed room for a retention pond. They found artifacts dating way back to the Woodland period, roughly from 1000 BC to 1000 AD. Faculty research associate April Holmes says the area shows multiple periods of Native American occupation. Graduate student Dominic Sculte says holding the artifacts is a chance to connect with the people who left them behind. UWF archaeologists have studied the sites on the campus since the late 1980s. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing some showers and thunderstorms today. 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, going to be seeing partly cloudy skies, high near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Tuesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Steve. We're still working that vehicle crash I-10 westbound as you approach Scenic Highway. No roadblock associated with that, but we are seeing some backups in I-10. Also have a traffic light out, US 90 at Spear Street in Milton. That's a four-way stop until further notice. And then finally, we have a disabled vehicle on the roadway, State Road 95 at Morris Avenue in Cantonment. I'm PJ, the traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Right now, 85 degrees in Pensacola. It's 83 in Gulf Breeze and 80 in Milton at 8:35 right now. Next news is coming up at 9. Breaking news, of course, happens anytime. Now let's check out what's happening on Wall Street. This is Your Money Now on News Radio 92.3. Florida's cost of living squeeze is showing up on the jobs front. Natalie Rodriguez reports.
The hiring crunch is hitting Florida particularly hard, with Miami ranking near the bottom for young professionals finding work. Starter roles are heavily saturated and entry-level salaries fail to match the region's surging housing costs. Local economists warn a lack of high-paying opportunities is forcing grads to launch careers out of state. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
And checking the Dow Jones average at the opening bell right now. Looks like the Dow Jones is up about 50 points at 53,326. S&P 500 is down, though, 23 points at 7,650. NASDAQ is down 151 points at 26,029. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who do I wrestle for? I wrestle on my high school team for Jason Garcia, my fiercest competitor during practice and my biggest fan during meets. I wrestle for my parents who practice what they preach, the importance of hard work, commitment, and dedication. I wrestle for the chance to put our little high school right here in Florida on the map.
Wearing the uniform of your high school comes with a big responsibility. Younger kids look up to you. Your teammates count on you. And the reputation of your high school depends on you. Do you have what it takes to participate in a high school sport?
And I wrestle for the glory that is mine when I do my best. That's who I wrestle for.
This message presented by the Florida High School Athletic Association and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The primary election is over.
Gay Valmont is joining us now. Hey, Gay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I know you're going to be representing the Democratic side for Congress District 1.
News Radio 92.3, full team coverage with Chris and Austin, provided up-to-the-minute election results.
Joining me now, Jimmy Patronus. Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I couldn't be any better right now.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, I just want to warn you that today's conversation is likely to divide households, you know, to put people on one side or the other, maybe wife from husband, child from adult, grandparent from grandchild. And it is not my intention. It is always my intention with the frivolous topic to foster relationship, to allow us to argue safely about things that do not matter and loving, forgiving, comical environment. But I just think, like, today is going to be some bad times. You ready, PJ, with that big buildup?
Go ahead.
Should fruit be served at room temperature or refrigerated? 437-1620, 437-1620. Now, I know you may want to answer. Depends on the fruit. Okay, we'll get into details. But generally speaking, Should fruit be refrigerated or should it be room temperature? And I'll give you a fruit as a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
Watermelon. 437-1620. Watermelon at room temperature or refrigerated?
Probably room temperature.
Room temperature? Okay. Yeah. Generally, fruit, room temperature or refrigerated? Or cold, you might say? You know?
Well, we keep ours cold.
You keep it cold. But yeah. Do you keep it that way because you like the taste and texture better? Or do you keep it that way because you think it preserves its goodness longer?
I think it does preserve it. Yeah.
Do you think it tastes better? If you didn't have to preserve it, if you like the taste and texture and sensation of warm fruit versus cold fruit?
Grapes, maybe.
You like
grapes cold?
Okay.
I think it tastes better.
Okay.
Apples, oranges, they can be room temperature.
Okay. Let me tell you the truth, my son. Young man. Which I can say to you because what do I have, 3 years on you? Yeah.
About that.
Okay. Fruit should never be served cold under any circumstances, period.
So you keep your grapes out too?
Oh, there are times when you may store it in the refrigerator for longevity's sake.
Okay.
But fruit is always 100% of the time better at room temperature. There is no situation where fruit, like a cold banana over a room, no. A cold apple, no. A peach, a strawberry, no. You might store them in the refrigerator, but you should let them go to room temperature before you eat them. We had this conversation. We were at the Springs over the weekend with some relatives who had brought some watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was refrigerator cold because they brought it in the Yeti. And I was like, I'll have to wait a little while before I eat this. And my son, my own flesh and blood, said, no, you want to eat it while it's cold before it goes room temperature bad. And I thought, where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong in training you all these years? So this was the fight at the Springs over the weekend, was cold or room temperature watermelon. 437-1620, 437-1620. Kim, you got to give me a reason if you can, or give me an example. Somebody says, Kim writes, just cold. It's cold, so I'm supposed to infer the argument from that. Somebody else writes, fruit should be refrigerated. It helps keep longer. Plus, I prefer fruit cold. But you have taste buds, right? Have you tried room temperature fruit? First of all, and now I have an additional, it doesn't really come into play much, but I have teeth that are more sensitive to cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes
so
sense.
Biting into a cold apple is not a pleasant thing for me. But that's not the reason. The reason is genuinely the taste. There are some things that taste better when they're cold. I mean, beer, soda, butter should be cold. There's lots of things that are actually better enjoyed when they're cold rather than room temperature. But like bread, you know, you don't refrigerate bread because it's better. You refrigerate it to keep it from spoiling, and then you let it warm up or you put it in the microwave because bread should be room temperature or warm even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, there are some things that are better off when they're refrigerated and some things that are better off when they're room temperature, and fruit is 100% in the better off at room temperature category. 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody says, it depends on the fruit, but for the most part, I love cold fruit. Why? Why? Do you put your avocados in the fridge and refrigerate them and make cold guacamole? Ew. I mean, ew. Let's see. Somebody says, everything can be cold except a banana. But why do you draw the line there? My son is right, Danny writes. My son is right. Cold watermelon is quite refreshing. No, it's not. It just tastes bad. It doesn't have as much taste. I'm sure if I did a little research, I could explain to you the way taste buds work and the spreading of the flavors across your tongue, as opposed to when they're cold, desensitizing your tongue and you're not picking up on the flavor as much. But
on a really hot day. Wouldn't you want some cold watermelon?
No. No. I want it warm and luscious and dripping down my face. And if I want to be cold, I'll get in the water. Or no, cold watermelon just weirds me out.
Okay.
I'm not there. I'll drink a soda. You know, I'll eat an ice cube. Whatever. You know, I mean, that's not typically a practice. But, you know, drink a beer. Not warm. Okay. 437-1620. Somebody says, fruit served at room temperature is always more tasty and sweet and natural tasting. Yes, my people. Ramon, way to go. Served cold is more crisp and refreshing. This look like positives. Jim says all fruits have to be served cold. Room temperature makes the chocolate melt. That's if you have chocolate-covered fruits. All right. Somebody says, have you been in this heat lately? Everything must be cold to keep your core temperature down. It's about survival. I refrigerate my body, and I let my fruit stay out at room temperature. Room temperature butter is so much better spreadable. No, Keith, it's not. We can have a conversation about this. But you're not alone in your sentiment. You're just in the minority, and, you know, you're wrong. Let's see. The magic of watermelons and apples is that at ambient temperature, they're still cooling. Refrigeration is for preservation. Oh, you said it so well. The liquid refreshment is enough. You don't need it to be cold on top of that. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still have that traffic light out. US 90 at Spear Street in Milton. Use caution. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
I knew this would be a fun one. And I love that so many people disagree with me. That's fantastic. It's fresh from the field. Leave it be. If it's fresh from the field, leave it be. If it came from the grocery store, put it in the fridge. There is also, you know, if it's been cut, it'll spoil faster, so you probably have to have it in their fridge for safety's sake. But I see, like, watermelon. So, you know, like, if you have a family, we have three people in my house that eat the watermelon, okay? So if you buy a watermelon, you're going to have to refrigerate some of it, unless you just gorge yourself. But the first, I don't know, quarter of the watermelon, I'm eating that and loving it at room temperature. And then the second one, probably leave it out and do the same thing. And then you refrigerate it. But then for me, I will let it sit out at room temperature. I do not want to eat it out of the fridge. For any reason, not ever. I'm sorry. There's, I don't know if this is an exception. If you make like a watermelon salad, you know, where you mix in like some feta cheese and some Italian dressing and some maybe some cucumber and some, mint, something like that. Yeah, okay, maybe. But even so, when it's a little bit warmer, it's better. You look at
you
me so.
You eat way better at your house than I did. A little mint.
Just like to cook. You know, that's a recent one for me, by the way, the cucumber, mint, and watermelon salad. It's super yummy, though. It's easy. You can't make it wrong. I mean, this is one of those things where, like, you can't make that salad wrong. Just like you can't make, black olives and feta and chickpeas or lentils and cucumber and tomatoes. You just can't make it wrong. It's going to be good no matter how you make it. 437-1620, somebody says, that's because Andrew doesn't like to go outside and doesn't like cold things and just like things at room temperature. There's nothing more refreshing than being outside in the hot sun and having a refreshing, cold, crisp apple. Oh, you people give me the willies. Let's see. Somebody says, do you drink your fruit juice at room temperature? Oh, I like where your head is going. Preferably no. But that's a chewing experience rather than a drinking experience. And most things I drink are refrigerated. Not all. Wine, you know, red wine anyways, room temperature. I like water at room temperature. I like the way you're thinking. I want to give Danny kudos for trying to find analogical reasoning that could be persuasive. If you like the flavor of fruit at room temperature, wouldn't you? You know what? I'll be honest. You have convinced me that what I need, I don't drink a lot of fruit juice. What I need to do is I need to go try some fruit juice at room temperature and see how it compares. Because then we're isolating texture and, you know, tone and, like, tooth feel and mouth feel versus just sheer flavor. And I'm kind of curious. I might discover that room temperature fruit juice is actually better. We'll see. Somebody here says, in all caps with three exclamation marks. Oh, two exclamation marks. Two question marks and an exclamation mark. Oh, watermelon salad? Although I do like that it's spelled water merlin salad. I don't mind you texting in a hurry. Somebody says, cold butter, yes. Sean says, I leave it out. My wife puts it in the fridge. I concede to her because she's my wife. And one of my favorite commissioners, local official, says, Colton Wright says, it's okay for Andrew to be wrong, LOL. His son is right. Watermelon is best in the summertime and served cold. Most refreshing that way. And cold butter is better. Cold butter is better. What? We can still be friends, Colton. Somebody says, but you're not supposed to juice your fruit. You're supposed to bite it and chew it. There you go. That's the way you do it. 849 News Radio 92.3. Always feel welcome to disagree with me, especially about the frivolous topic, which we know in reality doesn't matter, but it does. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing and will discuss topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob. Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Somebody just texted and said, Andrew, I love those times when you're so completely wrong and we just get to listen to you drone on and on and on and your wrongness. And then we just kind of want to reach through the radio and pat you on the head and say, it's okay. You'll come back to reality eventually. I love it. 8:51 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, I'm a big believer in being wrong. Loud and obnoxious and wrong and fun and, you know, makes life interesting. PJ, you've been in radio for a while. You ever did anything, said anything wrong on the air, made any mistakes on the air?
All the time.
Yeah, it's live radio, right? That's what happens, right? That's the nature of the beast. Probably it's not quite as bad as this, though. In the UK, there was a radio staffer who was unclear what a couple of files were. And so this person's choice, essentially, Radio Caroline is the name of the radio network or station, was to play the files because she wasn't sure what they were.
Live
he wasn't sure
air.
What they were. Well, that's the weird part is apparently, I'm not sure how this all happened, but I think it was a combination of wanting to play the files and then not realizing that they weren't in queue or off air, you know, that they were going to be going live over the air. So just plays them out of, you know, I guess curiosity. Well, they turned out to be the three pre-recorded files that would announce the death of King Charles. Oh, no. So, three pre-recorded statements in case, right? This is the kind of thing that you produce in advance. That way, when the time comes, because there will come a time that, you know, you're going to need to announce the death of the king. So, I know I'll just go ahead and play them now. And what I don't understand about this is how did this person get through playing all three of... Why more than one?
Mm-hmm.
After one, you're done. Did you not hear what it was saying and realize, oh, maybe not yet? So apparently
they weren't
not.
Wearing their headphones.
Yeah, right. I don't know, but it's a weird story. But, you know, whenever you think you've done a mistake of some kind, just remember it could be worse. You could have announced to the entire listening audience in the United Kingdom that the king was dead when obviously the king is most definitely not dead. 437-1620. Oh, have you seen the football-oriented rebrand for Pizza Hut?
I've heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they're just now Hut.
Yeah.
You know, like Hut, Omaha, Hut, Hike, like for pizza season, for football season.
You know, my daughter works there.
Does she?
I'm going to have to ask her.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm curious. It seems silly to me. But, hey, it's earned media. That means you're getting free attention. Dave Portnoy from Boston Sports says, you know, hey, it's brilliant. Of course, they could buy advertising from him. So, you know, that's why you support the move. But, whatever. I don't know. Things are just, it's just weird. Oh, this, I thought this was very interesting. I'm not, you may have surmised from hearing me talk about food a bunch, I'm not much of what you'd call a health food person. Generally speaking, I think that one of the great choices in life is between healthy and tasty. And, you know, all the things that taste good are not good for you, generally speaking. All the things that are good for you, man, they don't taste great, I'll say. My son would say it a different way. Anyway, Sorry. He's 20. He talks the way he talks. But now a study comes out. Very interesting study. Remember in World War II, you had rations for all kinds of things, especially in England. This is another story out of England. But the in England, they've got this longitudinal data for people, and they can go back and query this data set to kind of figure out what it might show you over time. Well, one of the things that they were recently looking at was what results do we see over a long period of time for people who had to live through the rationing of the war? And the answer is, well, they didn't have sugar. And what was the effect of them not having sugar? All kinds of health benefits. I'll tell you about it in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Lillian Highway at 49th Avenue. Use caution. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. If you are a company, you own a business, you have employees, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, management, payroll, all that kind of stuff. Torgerson Consulting, they can help you with it. They've been doing it for 25 years. Now, the company was kind of started by dad, and now it's sort of been taken over by son, but Reed is awesome. I love it. In fact, I mean, he was there when we started using them 5 years ago here at Cat Country and News Radio and Sports Radio Pensacola, but just fantastic, very detail-oriented people. I know from personally working with him. I also know from listening to him give a presentation in the city of Milton on their health benefits and actually explaining to them why, yes, if you do this, it'll save you money this year, but it puts you at risk of, in the long term, having to re-enter this same program. It was a great presentation, very detail-oriented, exactly the kind of thing I expect from Reed. They're fantastic. And so the point is, you want to take care of your people, you want to save money, you want to give them choices, you want to do your best, and it's not something anybody really relishes doing. So call Torgerson Consulting. Have them come do a no-obligation review of what you're doing and see if there's a way they can save you money or do better or both. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. PJ has traffic on the fives. Well, do it again, man. It was so brief and there was nothing to report. Okay, fine. So I said that babies that grew up in World War II in England had major health benefits because of sugar rationing. You had, you know, German attacks on import ships triggering big food shortages. They were trying to starve the nation into submission, island nation. The U-boats were attacking Great Britain and their shipping. And you had lots of food rationing, including sugar, was not available. So as a result, people grew up as babies or in the womb, they did not have sugar. So they have this, like, longitudinal data available of, like, 65,000 people who were born in the U.K. between 1951 and 1956. And some of this goes back even farther to that. But by focusing on the data set does not quite match the history. I bet it's a typo. Anyway, what they did is they looked at babies who grew up in the war and then babies who grew up, like, you know, after the war. And what they discovered is that babies who were conceived in the sugar shortage and then lived the first, like, 2 years of their life in the sugar shortage, because that's about how long it lasted, they wound up having all kinds of benefits. Basically, all kinds of cancer were reduced. They were 69% less likely to develop liver cancer as adults. They saw reduced incidence of prostate cancer, 52%, lung cancer, 41%, rectal cancer, 40%, breast cancer, 36%. Sugar ration babies also tended to show longer telomeres. That's what keeps the aging elements of your chromosomes from degrading, so you actually age less. They said it was worth about 2.5 years of biological aging to have been born in this time. And the theory is simple. Sugar is generally bad for you, especially in larger amounts. And babies who grow up eating sugar not only have more of it, but over the course of their lives, their taste buds are attuned more to it, because if you get it when you're young, you want it when you're older, you want it throughout your life. And if they're in the womb, same basic idea. So babies who were either conceived or born during this time period of the great sugar shortage or rationing during World War II in the UK showed major health benefits long term. Now, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I routinely ignore good health advice, but at least now you know, and knowing is, in this case, maybe a tenth of the battle. But, yeah, we've long known that basic processed sugar is not great for you. It doesn't stop me from eating it. I would take the taste over the longevity, but I'm just telling you, there you go. Do what you will with it. 8:59, and again, I am not typically the person who is like, eat the organic food, you know, avoid the processed things, and, you know, don't eat the beef because it's got all the chemicals in it. I'm like, give me the tasty meats. Give me the tasty things. I love them. I will live with it. It makes life enjoyable. You know, whatever. If they tell me that coffee is bad for me, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to drink it. The most recent news is coffee is good for you, so I drink it. You know, but when they say red wine is good for you, I'm like, yay, I was already going to drink it. When they say red wine is bad for you, yeah, I don't care. I was already going to drink it. So that's my own reaction to these things is not particularly favorable. But if it matters to you, or if you're kind of one of these anti-sugar people and, you know, you hadn't seen this research, well, now you've heard about it. That's it for me. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Meg is next with Pep Talk.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com.